Okay, let's go ahead and start off. So, first of all, I'm a little troubled because they told me I can't give a deep dive developer talk here. Told me this is the functional level, so I'm supposed to kind of talk at a higher level. Hopefully, I'll be successful at that. But what I wanted to do is kind of talk about, at a high level, what the business intelligence support, you know, inside of SharePoint Server 2010 is, kind of across the board. I know we want to drill down on performance point, which definitely we're going to do. Has anyone here in 2007 used Excel services? How many people have used that? How many people continue to want to use Excel services? I'm guessing if you raised your hand before, you would probably raise your hand now. So I think what I'll do, I'm going to do a little bit of coverage. I'll do more coverage on performance point, but I think kind of the two of them are, you know, are so comparable as far as, you know, some of the setup requirements and things like that. So let's kind of start, you know, by saying, you know, what is, you know, BI? And, you know, BI is a pretty vague term. Well, it's the ability to kind of take all this data, turn it into information, put it in front of managers' faces, you know, so they can make, you know, better, more timely decisions. Now, one of the things, you know, that I think about when we get to BI, you know, it's not so much just, you know, building these dashboard-style applications, but let me go ahead and switch over to my VM here. And inside of my VM, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and open up SQL Server and SQL Server Management Studio. And inside of SQL Server Management Studio, I'm going to switch over here to Analysis Services. And, you know, so what I now have is some databases, in particular the AdventureWorks Data Warehouse 2008 R2, you know, is what I'm going to be looking at, you know, inside here. And so one of the things, you know, that we have to, you know, make decisions on is what's the data that we're going to build into the warehouse? So SharePoint can't help you at all in the first half of your BI story. What we need is, you know, someone to look at all the different data that we have in our online transaction processing systems and any other place that we can find data and find out, you know, which is interesting points of data and how does this data need to be transformed, you know, into timely information. And so the process of, you know, taking something like SQL Analysis Services, using the Visual Studio add-ins, starting to build cubes, understanding what measures are, what dimensions are, you know, just BI terms. But basically, once the cubes get built out and once the, you know, key performance indicators get built out, SharePoint can basically step in and do the visualization of that. How many people here have a background in data warehousing and have a pretty good understanding of, you know, data warehousing, cubes, concepts, things like that? Okay, a couple of us. You know, but, you know, what you might find is you might go to this talk and say, hey, this is absolutely great. You might go back and kind of talk to people at your company. Yeah, we've got a plan to build cubes. It's going to be done in 7 years. And then all of a sudden, you know, a lot of the cool things that we're going to show you aren't going to work. You know, but the more that you're building, you know, a good data warehouse and you have cubes with interesting information that we can start looking at, that's going to give SharePoint 2010, you know, a much better opportunity to get in and start doing some interesting things inside there. Okay, now, when we get to SharePoint, you know, what we have is we have some low-hanging fruit, meaning if you get SharePoint Server 2010 Enterprise, they have these kind of lightweight components that can do some BI things. They have status indicators, and they have the charting web parts. The idea of the status indicator is that you can quickly put something on and you can put some calculation behind it so it kind of shows up as a line item. And it's either going to be red light, yellow light, green light. Green light means fine. Yellow light means warning. Red light means this is some place you have to stop and put out a fire today. But you can create those and you can base them on simple things. Likewise, we have these new charting web parts. So Microsoft went to a company called Dundas that creates, you know, ASP.NET and SharePoint components, and they kind of built one of their lighter weight components that does some type of charting. So if I just show you kind of a quick demo, just to get demo one out of the way, you know, let's go to a internet site here, and we'll go and create a new particular list. And as I create this particular list, should not be taking that long to load in. Okay, what I want to do is just create a simple list here. So we'll say list, we'll say custom list, and then we'll say, you know, sales folks, and we'll say create. And then in addition to this, what I want to do is I want to go to list settings. And under list settings, I'm going to add one more column inside here. So we'll say create columns. And this will be a sales total. So sales, and we'll put that, you know, based in currency. And we'll go ahead and choose OK. And now that we've done that, I'm going to go ahead and add a couple of entries inside here. So let's come back here, and we have Ted, and there's how much he sold today, and then we have Jed, and that's how much he sold today, and then we have Fred. And so if I have some data, and the data just needs to be, you know, put on a page, and it's already in this form where it's easy to chart, well, okay, let's go back to my home page. Let's go ahead and go back into edit mode. Well, this wiki page is certainly wonderful, but let's change it to one column. Let's go ahead and delete all this other stuff inside here. Let's save and keep editing. One of the neat things we can do with a wiki page now is to add a web part to it. If I go down to business data, well, there's this charting web part. So remember, this web part only comes with the Enterprise Edition. Let's go ahead and add that web part inside there. As we add the web part inside, it's going to make us go through this wizard-driven approach to configure it. So if I say data and appearance, and now we start, you know, moving through this particular wizard, I want to connect my chart to some data. And as we go through here, I'm going to say I want to connect to a list, and what is that list? I want to create sales folks. Let's go ahead, connect to that. There's some data inside there. So I think what you'll find is that, you know, it's not the most advanced charting application in the world. Let's go through this a second time. And this time I'm going to go through and say customize my chart. And this is going to let me pick between some of the other charts. Now, the downside to this out-of-the-box control is it can't do any of the aggregation, can't do any of the roll-up for you. So if you have a native list, you know, the data has to be, you know, all ready to chart out. Let's go down here. Let's go ahead and, you know, make it be 800 pixels. So basically just creates a PNG or a JPEG or a GIF file on the fly. Do I want to show a legend? Yes, that's great. Go ahead and choose finish. Probably the best sweet spot for using this control right here, you know, wouldn't be so much native data, but if you have the business connectivity services and you have your external content types that are based on SQL statements that are doing three-way joins and roll-ups and aggregations, and then they bring back the data that's all ready to chart, well, these can add value there. You know, so realize that the charts, the charting web part themselves is just going to take the data and render it as some type of chart. You know, so that's why, you know, it's not really that high end, but at least it kind of gives you, you know, some entry to be able, you know, to show data inside there. Now, some of the other things we have, in addition to these web parts, is we have Excel services. So where does Excel services fit in? Well, first of all, we got a lot of companies that have many experts at Excel, So the fact that now these people aren't just creating Excel spreadsheets, that then we have to kind of look at their logic and recode in C# so we can run the logic, you know, over on the web server. Now we can have people work in Excel and using Excel 2007 or Excel 2010, they can publish their workbooks, you know, up into a SharePoint site. And now code in the middle tier can load in the spreadsheet, can add input parameters as name ranges, can do calculations, can get output parameters. And what's happened between 2007 and 2010 is that they've, you know, tried to give us more ways, you know, to basically publish just parts of a workbook, you know, instead of just the whole workbook. Okay, I'm going to do one quick demo coming up with Excel Services. But now if you have Excel Services, there's also Performance Point. So what does Performance Point do? It allows you to build high-end dashboard pages. So I have a data warehouse. I have a bunch of cubes. And when they built these cubes, they worked really hard to start putting in sales information about every single sale, what area code, whether the buyer was male or female. And we have all these different things. And so by using, you know, a dashboard approach, I can give a sales manager or someone in marketing the ability to kind of look at my sales. Okay, let's compare sales in Australia to the U.S. Okay, let's look at the U.S. Well, let's drill down on New York. Let's go ahead and look at New York, you know, for women in these three different area codes. You know, so the more that we've put into the cube building these dimensions and measures, the more we can get out of it. But I think, you know, as you look at, you know, should I use SQL reporting services, Excel, Performance Point? What's Performance Point's main strength is the ability to give you, you know, a great deal of visualization and drill down into cube-based data. Okay, and the last demo I'm going to show is going to, you know, show how that, you know, gets to be possible. We also have SQL reporting services, you know, which is part of your BI story. But notice that SharePoint doesn't provide SQL reporting services. It simply integrates with it. You know, so companies that have SQL reporting services reports and just want to manage them, you know, inside of SharePoint and have the rendering inside of SharePoint sites, you know, that works out really well. Now, the site that I'm going to be creating in my demo is going to be a BI Center site template. So let's go create one of these. So this point, we'll go off and we'll go to central administration. And inside of central administration, we're going to create a new site collection. And as I create this thing, I'll put it inside of this web app. So we'll just call this BI and BI. And then I'll come down here, and if I go to Enterprise, there is my Business Intelligence Center site template. So we'll go ahead and we'll put administrator, you know, as the one. And fortunately, I have to spell that correctly. And I'll spell it right one of these days. Administrator. And do you want to see wingtip in front? How about wingtip / administrator? And finally, okay. Let's go ahead and choose okay. Now, when you look at the BI Center site, think of that as a site template they made so that you can integrate Excel services, spreadsheets, and BI-style dashboards and SQL Server, you know, reporting services reports, you know, into the same thing. You know, so there's integration, you know, for all three types of those things, you know, built into this one site right here. Now, let me talk first. I don't want to talk too long because I know that a lot of you came to hear more about Performance Point than Excel Services. But just let me take, you know, 5 minutes and do one quick demo and kind of talk about some of the nice improvements that we have. So without Excel Services, we have these spreadsheets. And for, you know, let's say we have this guy in our company, Lloyd, and he's the Excel guru. And behind his spreadsheets, he's got all this business logic. You know, that is our company's, you know, proprietary information, you know. So what we don't want to have to do is have him give the spreadsheet away, because then we're giving all our proprietary information away. So without SharePoint, what can I do? If I send it via email, if I put it up on a file share, you know, it's all or nothing. So what Excel Services allows us to do is to take the same spreadsheet, but just to allow you to see the charts or allow you to see, you know, some other part of it. So, you know, that gets to be, you know, a very important distinction inside there. Now, let's say I want to expose some content. So we have BI Center right here. And inside of BI Center, we're going to create something. Now, before I start using either of these services, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and make a couple changes to this thing, which is the secure store service. So I'm going to go back down to manage service applications. And there is this one service application that we get with SharePoint Server Standard called the secure store service. And I'm going to go ahead and click on manage. Now, back in SharePoint 2007, we had this thing called the single sign-on service. You know, so this is the next generation. It had to be rewritten from the ground up to make it claims aware. And when you create this thing, what it's going to do is it's going to take credentials from your users, usernames and passwords, and encrypt them and push them inside the database. But the very first time that you try to access the service, you need to generate a key. Nothing's going to work till you generate this key. So I come around here and I say generate a key. And so as you generate a key, we're going to come up with a passphrase, and I didn't need you, and then we'll go ahead and choose OK. It generates the key for us, and now that we have the key, we can actually start creating secure store applications. So now I'm going to call new. And so what we're going to do is we're going to create secure app 1 and secure app 1 and put my email inside there. Now, there are different types of applications. At a high level, there's an application that can save credentials on a per user basis. So if we have 100 users inside of the secure store, you know, database, you know, there'll be one entry for each particular user, which has their encrypted, you know, username and password. I can also set things up. So if I have, you know, two teams, the accounts management team and the operations team, I can make it so that if you're running under this one Active Directory group, you map to, you know, one group, and there'll be one identity behind there. But we're going to use individual for this case right here. Okay, so we'll pick individual. We'll go ahead, choose next. And now that we've done that, it says, for this particular application, we need to store credentials. Do you want to use just the regular username and password? That's what we're going to use here. But you can imagine a non-Windows system that you're trying to authenticate with in the back. You know, you might be saving, you know, any arbitrary, you know, number of fields. That's why this allows you to add, you know, up to 5 different fields. So we're going to go ahead and choose OK. Who's going to be the administrator of this particular application or this? And no matching names, remove. That's not my day for typing. Let's go ahead and bring up this handy dandy box here. And okay, so now we'll basically find the wingtip administrator, put him inside there. There is our wingtip administrator. Go ahead, choose OK. Okay, so now that we have secure app 1, we might want to set credentials. Now, this is something that when people start using secure store applications, you know, generally we have them set. So the first time they try to hit the application, the web part, or you know the BDC or some component tries to reach in and says, hey, you don't have any credentials, so we redirect them to an out-of-the-box page that says, hey, we don't have your credentials, put them in. They put in their credentials, they click OK, and we basically push the credentials inside here. You know, for this demo, I'm just going to create the credentials, you know, for a user on the fly. So we'll say set credentials. And who is going to be the credential owner? Wingtip slash administrator. And what is the name of that user? What is the password? And we'll go ahead and choose OK. So now that we've got that set up, we're going to be able to go through, you know, and test things inside here. Let's go back to central administration. Let's now go to managed service applications. Let's go to Excel services and choose manage on this guy right here. And let's go to global settings. You know, under global settings, we also have something down here saying external data, unattended service account. And I'm going to go ahead and put secure app 1 inside here. Okay, so now that I've kind of got some things set up, at least for Excel services, we'll have to come back and do a little bit more before we start working with Performance Point. Let's go back and we're going to go up and we're going to say, I want a new document library. Sure why the Silverlight stuff's taking so long. Actually, I could have just said new document library, and I would like a document library, and we'll just call it Sheets, and we're fine to have it based on Excel spreadsheets. Go ahead, choose Create. Okay, so now we'll go ahead and we'll create our first document inside here. So a new document, and this is going to fire up Excel. Now, the main reason that I went through and did that work on the back end, configuring the secure store, is I want to put a connection, you know, inside of this particular spreadsheet, you know, to get at information back there. And so when I go and create the connection, you know, I'm going to be able to kind of set it up with either unattended execution, or I can set it up in such a way that, you know, users will, you know, pass their information through there. While this guy is starting up, I'm also going to go back to Central Admin, where it says manage services on this server. And there's this one service, which is claims to Windows token service. If you're running inside of a claims-based app, that user, even though he or she is logged in as a Windows account, no longer has a Windows identity. So there's this service that if we ever want to take the SAML token and switch it back to a Windows identity so we can call out to SQL Server, you know, which is using integrated Windows authentication, you know, that thing has to be set up. And this thing doesn't want to work inside here. Let me run one test right here. If we go open services and we go to the last S, this guy, the system event notification service, is just a big problem on a VM. So he tells the client application that nothing's working. But you know, let's go ahead and take our spreadsheet, you know, one and connecting. Oh, I guess it's trying to activate. That was the problem with it not starting before. Let's see if we still get it to work there. Okay, so now let's see if I can do a save as. And get back to this one document library right here. Okay, we might be moving on to the PowerPoint. Performance point demos sooner than I expected. Was not expecting Excel not to be able to connect to the site. Let me give it one more second. Let me try to start it up one more time. Let's see. I'm pretty sure I do not have an internet connection right here. Pconfig. Well, maybe I do. Okay, let's see if I get lucky here. If I have an internet connection, should be able to activate there. But for some reason, if you install the clients and they have passed their activation status, you know, testing all kinds of the functionality, is problematic. Communications errors occurred, so that means, are you going to let me connect to the particular site? Looks like it's having some kind of error inside there. Okay, well, I'm okay, my apologies that this is, I'll give it a couple more seconds while I talk through these slides. But just to kind of give you an idea of some of the changes in Excel, when we publish things, you know, I can either create, you know, a spreadsheet with some, you know, numbers and a chart, and when I publish that, I can show it through the web. I can also create data connections inside. That's what I was hoping to demo here. And if you create a data connection, well, then your spreadsheet, you know, has connection information to basically go to some back end, you know, like a cube, and basically pull back the information and create something such as a pivot table. And, you know, what gets to be neat about that is then I can publish that, and I can publish the entire spreadsheet, or I can just publish the pivot table chart and not let you see the pivot table or any of the numbers behind it. So when you do publishing now, we can be very specific about what we want to publish, you know, just the items or just a particular work page. And then some of the other things that we can do inside is, like in 2007, there's still an Excel services.asmx file that you can load the spreadsheet in and communicate with it. But now there's also a REST-based web service. And what's really neat about this is if you publish just a chart or just publish just a table, well, Excel builds this model. And so you'll hit the web app, underscore VTI bin, underscore Excel rest.aspx, and then you basically put an offset, you know, to where that spreadsheet lives inside the web app. And then it returns back this model. And what you can then do is you can basically find the URL to get to one of the things that is inside of that model, you know, such as the one chart or that one particular table. And what you can then do is you can go to the homepage of your company's website, you can put an IMG tag inside there, and the source, you basically put in that REST call, and as long as, you know, the code that's running your front-end website can reach into the back end and authenticate as some authorized user, it can then basically pull out the PNG file for the chart and show it. And now your users who are looking at this chart, there's no way they can get to any of the other information behind there. You know, so that's one of the big things that they did, you know, is just to start exposing small pieces of spreadsheets via REST web services and then also via a JavaScript or ECMAScript object model. Okay, if we come back here, let's see if we ever, oh, maybe we got lucky here. Maybe it just took a second to authenticate. So if we say wingtip slash, let's see if that actually does anything. Probably not. I think I'm probably going to be moving on to the performance point aspects. Okay. But if I had gotten Excel working, you know, one of the things I want to do is, you know, attach to the cube, you know, create this type of a chart, and then to publish the chart so you can see it through the browser, but then to also to publish individual pieces, you know, which lets you do a lot more work. there's also web parts that come with the Enterprise server, with the SharePoint Server Enterprise Edition. So if you are publishing, you know, just individual charts, individual, you know, tables, you can show those anywhere, but you can also, you know, take the Excel service web parts, you know, and quickly put them, you know, in place. Okay, let me see. Now it looks like it's just not working with the authentication. Looks like there's something that's failing down below. And okay. Well, I'll just talk about one more thing before we move into performance point. now, one of the things about, let's say that we have this Excel spreadsheet. And on the Excel spreadsheet, I create a connection. And so I went to Excel Services and I got this cube. And then I started building this pivot table, you know, based on, okay, here's my, you know, sales revenue. Now let's start creating the pivot table by which countries, you know, and maybe, you know, what quarters of the particular year. And so then we go ahead and we publish that. Well, now, if you have that spreadsheet on your desktop, you're able to start drilling down and looking at things inside there. But every time you drill down, it's basically sending another query to the SQL Server Analysis Services box. Same thing. If I basically take that Excel spreadsheet and I publish it to SharePoint, well, it's kind of nice that you can go through the browser and kind of drive the experience of going to the pivot table and starting to drill down. But every time you make the request, the web server's, you know, also calling to the analysis services box. So Microsoft created this component, and the beta time frame was called Gemini. Now they're calling it Power Pivot. And so the idea is, let's make it unnecessary to talk to the SQL Server analysis box. So there's two things we need. One is we have to take the Excel spreadsheet format and extend it so we can put cube data inside of it. And then second, we've got to create a separate standalone engine to be able to look at cube data and drill down on it. So, you know, in short order, you know, that's what Power Pivot is. So there's two different versions of Power Pivot. You know, one for the client desktop, one that you can install into, you know, a SharePoint farm. And the idea is we won't need to go to the SQL Server Analysis database because our, you know, our XSL T file or XSL X files will contain, you know, the information from the cube. And now these engines, you know, Power Pivot is going to be able to allow us to do the drill down inside there. Okay, we'll go back here. Now it wants to work for me, sheets. Okay, so if I call this guy sheet one, this demo ends up taking years to do anything. I think I'll have to bail out of it. Okay. I think I'm just going to give up on all my Excel demos. Sorry about that. But move over to the one that we talked about, at least the one that was advertised, Performance Point Services. Okay, now, when it's time to start using Performance Point Services, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go back into Manage Service Applications, and we're going to go to Performance Point Service Application, and we're going to go ahead and choose Manage. And when I start creating dashboards, which I'm going to do in a second with the Rich Dashboard Designer, it's going to use the unattended service account. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to type in a farm administrator account, or at least it has to be an account privileged inside the service. But one gotcha is that for this to work, you have to go to the secure store service first and generate that key. If you don't, this will fail, and it will give you a very misleading error message. So watch what I'm going to do here. I'm going to come up here, and we're going to say wingtip / administrator. And Now we're going to put in the password. We'll go ahead, choose OK. And after you do that, go back once to make sure it's stuck. And the thing is, let's now go into the service applications. Let's go now down to the secure store and open that up. And what you're going to see is that this thing got created on the fly. You know, so it just creates a secure store application and configures it. But if you didn't come here first and generate the key, that would fail, and it won't kind of tell you why it's failing. Okay, so now we've got that set up. We'll go back to our BI site. And inside of our BI site, they're going to have this front page that tells you a bunch of this and that. But there's this idea about creating dashboards. So let's say I want to start using Performance Point Services. I go ahead and click on this. Now, the way that Performance Point works is that you have a site, and you're going to create these things that are called dashboard pages. They're just web part pages. There's going to be these BI visual objects, like reports, like scorecards. So we're going to go to this rich designer and create the dashboard objects, and then we're going to deploy them to SharePoint. And what SharePoint is going to have is basically a bunch of pages built out that are web part pages, and then all the objects you created will just be constructed as web parts on the page. You know, so at a high level, you know, that's the way things are going to work. Now, in this case right here, we're going to go ahead and we're going to click Run Dashboard Designer. As I click Run Dashboard Designer, what happens is this exe floats across the network. It's about 15 megabytes. It's going to load on this client desktop, and this rich designer continues to talk back and forth with SharePoint using web services. So it kind of queries and sees what things are there. It also allows you to start building things, you know, such as the I really wonder my performance seems very slow. Shouldn't take that long to pull something from across the network. Let me see if I have some kind of performance issue. Who is taking up all my performance? Some unknown party right here. Okay, so while this dashboard designer is loading back in, you know, so here's the type of pages that we start building. You know, so we have some type of gauge. You know, we have these indicators that typically have, you know, the red light, blue light. I also might want to show other things, you know, such as charts. Now, in Performance Point, you know, we have key performance indicators. And there are the things that you have some kind of budget, you know. So, you know, in the first half of the year, we had $50,000, and there's an actual. You know, so if we get halfway through the year and we've used up less than the budget, we want a green light saying, hey, you know, we're good on money. If we're kind of getting to some threshold, you know, we might be concerned. We'd have a yellow light. If, you know, we're in a danger area, you know, we want a red light. You know, so our key performance indicators, you know, generally have, you know, one or more targets and one or more actuals, you know, and some kind of indicator to tell you how we're doing against that. And then there's this concept of scorecards, which layers on top of that, because you might have two or three indicators, and one indicator alone, you can't really get a sense of how the business is. But if three out of five indicators are bad, then the scorecard, you know, might give a failing grade. You know, but if one indicator is bad and the other four are great, you know, so scorecards, you know, just basically add more logic around the idea of a indicator. Now, once this application comes up, I'll go ahead and click on this, and now the dashboard designer is going to load in, and the dashboard designer is what's going to allow me to basically talk to the back end. And here's my dashboard designer right here. And as the thing is loading in, I'm having just some strange issues with performance. Nothing should be taking this long. Internal NIC, local area NIC. Maybe that was my problem right there. I just needed to keep that disabled. Okay. Now that I've got this guy working, let's start by creating a data connection. So we're going to say data connection. And as I create the data connection, I can create it to Excel services. What we didn't support in 2007 was connecting to SharePoint lists, so now that is connected. But I'm going to connect to a cube here. So we'll go to SQL Analysis Services. And once we create this new data connection, what I'm going to be able to do is, you know, point to a particular database inside of SQL Analysis Services. So this is going to be the AdventureWorks DW. And down here, we'll say unattended service account. So I've already got that set. If we say wingtip server, and then we drop down and look at the databases. You know, so at this point, if you hadn't gone and configured the unattended service account, you wouldn't be able to reach out and do these things. And now I should be able to drop down here and see the different cubes that are inside of that database. You know, so there's one for AdventureWorks. Okay, now go over here. You know, are there any properties that are interesting to set here? So I could set that to AdventureWorks DW and go ahead and hit save on this. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over here to this time tab. And here's, you know, one of the first times as you work with Performance Point that if you know nothing about data warehouses and concepts about cubes, it's going to start getting a little bit, you know, hard to start tracking everything inside here. So what we want to do is we want to have some kind of time dimension. You know, so maybe we'll say, well, let's go ahead and start tracking things, you know, by this dimension of date. Well, now, is there some kind of starting date you want? So if we go through there and we look at particular, you know, dates, well, maybe I don't want to look at each particular date. Let's go down here. Let's make a change. Let's go back to date, date, calendar, something else that was built into the cube. And so now I start dropping these down. And so do we want 2005 data? Or do we just want to start looking at, you know, data, you know, as of, you know, the first of the year, January 2006? Let's go ahead and, you know, choose the date selection of the time dimension. Now we have this hierarchy of, you know, how do we want to, you know, start breaking things down? Do I want to drill down onto, you know, daily sales figures? I'm going to choose day. Now here's one that's a little bit hard to conceive at first. You have this reference date. Now one of the reasons that people often change the reference date is we have actual data from 2006 through 2008. And here we are kind of in the middle of the year 2010. I want to start kind of building out some dashboards and show what my, you know, week-to-date, month-to-date, and year-to-date totals are, but I don't have any data. So if I can say, hey, let's pretend that, you know, instead of being, you know, September, you know, whatever today is in 2010, let's pretend it's the same day in 2008 so that I kind of find myself, you know, immersed in the middle of the data. You know, so I could come down here and I could say something such as, well, let's go ahead and kind of assume that, you know, this particular date right here, you know, is going to be 129, or in this case, you know, 829 and 2008. Or 2008. Okay, now down below here, I also have some things that I have to kind of match up, time aggregations. And so I'm going to match up calendar year to year. I'm going to match up calendar semester to semester, calendar quarter to quarter, calendar month to month, and then calendar date to the one which is day inside here. Okay, hierarchy level, date. Okay, that looks good. Okay, so now let's go ahead, you know, take this information and let's save that back. Okay, so now that I have this back, that just got, you know, saved back inside the SharePoint site. Now realize that I have this particular workspace, and I could save this as a local file, you know, my local copy. And that's great. That's just a DDWX file. But realize that you don't need to, you know, ever store this locally if you don't want to, because there's a connection to SharePoint. And as I create my connections and save them, as I create these other types of objects, you know, and save them, they're being saved back to the SharePoint site. So let's say I want to get my first object, and I just want to kind of get it up inside a SharePoint. So now that I have my connection, I'm going to go and I'm going to create a report. So I'll say, let's create a report. Let's create a analytic chart. Let's go ahead and choose OK. Now, what do I want to base that on? So now I'm able to go through and look at, you know, the different data connections I have. Well, there's the AdventureWorks. You know, if I had built multiple connections, I'd have multiple options right here. So we go ahead and we build this new particular object, and it builds my new report. And maybe we'll call this something like sales by country. And now that we have sales by country, I can come up here and start looking at the different measures. And so maybe we have, internet sales is what I'm interested in. And so under measures, you know, what is one of the measures that, you know, we'd want to put inside there? So we'll take something such as an internet sales amount, and we'll go ahead and add that in. And now that we've added the internet sales amount, we'll look at different types of dimensions. So if I look down here, you know, for, you know, sales territory, do I want to look at, you know, country and put that inside here and start what my chart starts looking like? You know, so I can now see this breakdown by my different countries inside there. If I go to edit and we go to report type, you know, maybe we'll change that, you know, to be a bar chart. No, that doesn't really look good. So let's go ahead and move that back to, you know, some other type of line chart. That doesn't look, you know, as well either. You know, so basically I can go back and pick the chart I want. I can work with the legends, things like that. You know, but let's say at this point that, you know, I've gone through, you know, and I've built enough of this so we want to demo it. Let's go ahead and save this particular object. You know, notice that up top here there's a save all. But this is the save back to SharePoint. Let's go back here. Let's go to performance point content. And so, you know, notice that as you're saving these objects, they get saved back, you know, inside of SharePoint. The other thing to note is that at the beginning, you saw me click on that big button that said, you know, run the rich designer. If I go ahead and click new item, that's going to do the same thing. It's going to bring up, you know, the EXE and fire up the rich designer to put inside there. Okay, now, while every one of these BI objects, whether it's a report or a scorecard or an indicator, they all get saved here as list items, there's this secondary document library, which is named dashboards. That's going to basically get pages that contain our dashboard objects. So now let's go back here, and let's say I want to show this chart inside of SharePoint. So I come back here and I say, I want to create a dashboard. So really, indicators, scorecards, reports, filters, and KPIs are all things that go on dashboard pages. But the dashboard page is what we use to publish. So we'll create a dashboard. At the end of the day, a dashboard is a set of one or more web part pages. And so when you create a dashboard, it says, hey, pick a page template. And it's actually saying, pick a page template for the first page inside here. So if I go back here and I say, hey, give me that page that has a single web part zone, I can come back here, and there's page one. And so, you know, this might be, you know, sales by country. And note that I could add a second page inside here. You know, so you can add as much pages, as many pages as you want, you know, sales, you know, by year. And so we'll go to one of these particular pages. And then here's the thing for dropping web parts in the zones. Let's go to take my report. Let's drag that. Let's drop it inside here. Now, your expectations of what you're going to see inside of this designer should not be very grand. You know, you're really going to have to deploy the thing and see what it looks like in SharePoint, you know, before you see too much inside here. But let's go ahead and take my dashboard page, and we'll rename this to, you know, sales dashboard. And I'll right click, and now we have a deploy to SharePoint option. I say deploy to SharePoint, and what it does is it goes and looks at that site that you're pushing to, and it finds, you know, all the different document libraries that are compatible, you know, with dashboard pages. And it found one named Dashboards. Also note that it allows me to pick what master page I want these to use. So if I have multiple master pages back there, you know, I could pick something other than V4. Let's go ahead and choose OK. And so now it's going through the process of basically creating these new web part pages inside the site and putting things back inside there. You know, so once again, if I go to Performance Point, you can see that it created these two new objects. If I go to Dashboards, and there's this Sales Dashboard, it's just basically different dashboard pages that's inside there. And also note that as you, you know, move inside of one dashboard, it links all its pages together, you know, via little links up top there. So now we've got some information, you know, we've got it put and published, you know, into, you know, SharePoint itself. So now let's go back and do a little bit more work. So now we'll come back and we'll say new report. Let's create a second report based on the same stuff. And so this is going to be sales by year. And now what we'll do is we'll look at a particular internet sales. And so once again, we'll take the internet sales amount. But now for dimensions, you know, what dimensions do we want to look at? Do we want to, you know, look at the customer, you know, geography, you know, such as location? You know, so maybe we'll take country and put that in place right here. And then we'll go, you know, a little bit further. You know, what's the date of the sale? You know, do we want day? Do we want date? There's more options under calendar. You know, do I want calendar year? Let's go ahead and pull these in place right here. And sometimes, you know, it's a matter of kind of moving some of these things around till it starts looking good. You know, but now we can go through there and kind of start seeing the things that we want to, you know, get inside there. So now I've created the second chart inside. You know, once again, let's go ahead and save our work. Let's go back to the dashboard. Let's go back to this second page right here. Let's now look at the different reports. Let's put this second report in place. Let's go back to our sales dashboard. Let's go ahead and deploy to SharePoint. So we're going to basically deploy right over what was there before, you know, but now we're able to kind of get through, you know, basically these things, you know, one at a time. Okay, so one of the things I wanted to do is kind of start with the easiest type of B object, you know, which is the report, because it kind of gives you a sense of the dashboard page, you know, being your hosting mechanism. So now we've seen you take, you know, these BI objects, you create them, and once they're all done, you basically put them on a dashboard page, you deploy it, and you're off and going. You know, so what are some of the other types of things, you know, that we can do inside? So if we come back here and we say new, well, there is KPIs. And so as you create a KPI, you can see that a KPI has things like an actual and a target. And so as you start creating these things, you're going to say, you know, what is the data mapping that we have here for the actual? And let's go ahead and change the source right here. And so I can go through and I can start doing things, you know, picking a particular measure, you know, internet sales amount. You know, do I want some type of filter or intelligence time filter right here? You know, so a lot of what we type inside here, you know, is going to be calling functions that we've kind of built into our cubes. Now, up on the Microsoft site, they have some pretty good BI labs, and you kind of go through them. They use the AdventureWorks database, and then you start typing in these formulas right inside here. And what's not really clear is that, you know, those formulas are kind of user-defined functions, you know, that are written inside the cube that are able to go through and, you know, return back, you know, just data for a specific, you know, day or week or something like that. Okay. But, you know, what you're able to do as you start, you know, building the KPIs is you always have, you know, an actual and a target, but you can add new actuals, new targets. You can basically start saying, okay, well, my actual right here is going to be, you know, year-to-date sales, and I want it to be 10% higher than my year-to-date sales from last year. And so I can start targeting, you know, where if I'm not at 100% of where I was last year, I want it to show, you know, yellow. If I'm under 80% of where I was last year, I want it to show red. If I'm over 100% or over 100, you know, so you get to basically, you know, choose the different areas, you know, where your indicator goes from green to yellow to red. So KPIs is kind of like your first building block that you're going to be creating. Now, there's also these ideas of scorecards. And as you start building scorecards, you know, allow you to add, you know, different things inside here. And I'm not really going to go through the process of building, you know, one of these things, you know, from scratch, you know, but the idea is that, you know, generally you have one or more KPIs and you can start dropping them inside here, and your KPI, you know, might be looking at an actual, you know, versus a target. Another API might be looking at that, and you can drop them in here. And then you could start saying, well, let's not just look for across the board. Let's make sure that, you know, all our sales in Australia and the U.S. And such, any country where my sales at this time of year are under where they were this time last year, I want that to show up as a red mark. You know, so those are the kind of things that you can start, you know, building out with scorecards, you know, getting a lot more drill down inside there. And generally, we're going to use one or more KPIs, you know, to build out our scorecards, and we're going to start adding in, you know, other things like dimensions, you know, to do filtering and things like that. Now, if I come down here and I look here, well, we talked about indicator, scorecard. The one I haven't talked about yet is the filter. So the filter is generally what we use for drill down. Now, at the end of the day, you're going to have these web parts, reports, and scorecards, and they're going to show things to the user. On the same page, should we put another web part that says to the user, pick a date range or pick a country, and then when you pick that country, we will rerun the query? You know, so filters are what they sound like. You know, they're just things that allow the user to query for more information, or in some cases, they're going to be invisible web parts that pass criteria to the web parts that are running the queries. And so as you pick these particular things inside here, you know, whether it's, you know, one of these particular things with a connection inside, what we're going to do is when we go to the dashboard, we're going to be able to do something like, you know, take our chart and then take filters. I haven't created any filters, but I'm going to drop the filters in place. And I think what gets to be the most challenging aspect at first to get a hold of in the UI is what happens when you drop a filter web part and the chart web part on the same page. Well, I have to create a connection because that's what they use to get it from one side to the other. But generally, it's not just connect this web part to this web part. It's this provider has 5 different things that you can bind, and this guy has 20 things that you can bind to. So the interface is fairly complex and a little bit awkward at first, but it gives you the ability, you know, to connect any, you know, value from, you know, the filter web part, you know, into a report web part or a scorecard web part. And at the end of the day, once you create your filters, you basically just drop them on the same pages and you connect them, you know, through web part connections. Okay. So what we've seen inside there is that we use the dashboard designer. You know, so that's going to be the main tool that we use to start making SharePoint show our BI objects. And obviously, it's going to be a lot easier to do this if we've already built out our data warehouse and we already have cubes. If you don't have a data warehouse, you don't have any cubes, well, you can use Performance Point and still look at SharePoint lists or simple SQL tables, and you can do interesting things, but you're not going to get, you know, the full BI experience where you start drilling down from, you know, global sales to country-specific sales to city-specific sales, and then start looking at it, you know, with a bunch of other dimensions. Now, as far as the different data sources, well, I think analysis services, you know, is probably going to be the most popular. Definitely is, you know, something where we've spent all this money on a data warehouse. We want to be able to see it. But other things, you know, also fit into place, you know, such as Excel, spreadsheets, lists, SQL tables, such and such. Now, you also saw that I went through, you know, and I was able to publish those dashboard pages with the BI objects, and they basically just show up as web parts, you know, inside of the web part page. If I had, you know, created some type of filter object, you know, generally what you're able to do is to create the UI so the user can drop down that top filtering web part and pick some criteria, and after the user picks it, it reruns the query, you know, and shows them, you know, the drill down or the criteria applied, you know, that the user asked for. Okay, now the last thing we have is this idea of a decomposition tree. Now, this is something maybe called users run amok. I'm not sure rather a better way to explain it. You've seen that in my demo, I didn't do anything very complicated. You know, I created these 2 different reports, and you look at this one particular report right here, you look at this other report. But now, with just what I've shown you out of the box, I'm going to come here and I'm going to right-click. And I right-click on this web part, and all of a sudden, it starts asking me, hey, do you want to drill down on all kinds of information? Well, I don't know. Do I? Do I want to drill down on, you know, geography? Do I want to go, you know, further to city? Do I want to say, you know, let's look at, you know, the dates or the, you know, fiscal year? And as the user starts drilling down here, you know, we can start seeing these different things in place right here. So while you can add in the filtering web parts to make it really obvious to the user, once users start getting, you know, a feeling of that they can go inside here and start switching things, you know, right inside the browser, you know, by themselves, you know, you're going to find that, you know, some users are going to do great things, and other users are going to get really confused and say, you know, why does it let me get into this, you know, strange state? Okay, now let's go back over here, and what I wanted to show that initial menu. Report type, report information bar, select measures. Okay. So you can see that, you know, there's quite a bit that they can change, you know, inside here. So that's the you know, the notion of the decomposition tree. And just once the users, you know, start seeing what's inside there, you know, it's going to be, you know, as detailed as your cube is behind it. Okay, so at this point, you know, I went through the material that I was hoping to cover. I apologize for the Excel services demos not working out. Thank you very much for attending. Appreciate it.